Janelle volunteered. I'm Francis.
Hi, Francis.
I'm an alcoholic and a heroin addict.
Hi, Francis.
Hello, everybody. I've done the work the way it's laid out, the way we're supposed to do it. And I'm here to talk about step four. I come to Big Book Step Study out of normal AA, and I beat my brains in with it. Stayed sober, but I did every four step there was. The Joe and Charlie four step, the Hazelden guide, the little tan one, the care unit four step. I did the 12 and 12, took it apart. And I really didn't change, and I didn't know that the four step was as it is. I had no idea. And I know the book through and through. This is like my third one. I wear them out. I thank God that I found Big Book Step Study and went through it this way and have had a spiritual experience that has revolutionized my life. Here, I'm going to talk about step four. This sex stuff is really straightforward. I mean, we are so fortunate. Anybody that's afraid of it, hasn't read the book, or hasn't gone through the rotations, it's very easy, very straightforward. I'm going to back up 2 weeks to the first part of step four, because that's what the important thing of step four sex is. We have to have the list, right? We reviewed our own sex conduct, which means I have to have a list of my sex conduct. Where do I get that list? You know what I mean? A list of all the people that I've had sexual experiences with, and those that I really wanted to or tried to and got turned down and then resentful or whatever, you know. Everybody I wanted to, everybody I did it with, and that's the list. So where did I get that? Okay. Being that a solitary self-appraisal is insufficient, and I was filled with pride and justification and excuses and blame before I had a spiritual experience, it was real difficult for me to nail that down. It's kind of like your A-step list. Most of the people I don't know are assholes anyway. I would think up reasons why I'm not going to make amends. Same thing with sex in my case. So where I got the list was from the directions that my sponsor gave me. At the beginning of step four, part one, it says I'm page 64 and I'm backing up because that's what I'm doing. Says that a business which takes, this is page 64, second paragraph, a business which takes no regular inventory usually goes broke. Taking a commercial inventory is a fact-finding and a fact-facing process. It is an effort to discover the truth about the stock and trade. One object is to disclose unsaleable goods and to be promptly rid of them without regret. If the owner of a business is to be successful, he cannot fool himself about values. Next paragraph, most powerful statement about step four. We did exactly the same thing with our lives. We took stock honestly. So then it goes into resentment is a number one offender. I'm not going to talk about that. Where I got the list was my sponsor told me to make a list of everybody. Hi. My sponsor told me to make a list of everybody I ever met, starting with my earliest memories. I started, my first people I met was my brother Michael. Michael, Sissy, Lori, Bonnie, Mommy, Daddy, Nana, Grandpa, Grandma, and I just went through it chronologically. And of course I balked at it and thought it was nutty and thought, holy cow, how can I do that? He said, half measures availed us nothing, they availed us nil, which means nothing. He said, you said you were willing to go to any length. He also asked me if I would follow directions, which I said yes. So I made a list of everybody I ever met. And each day I would write, I might be in first grade on the first day, and maybe 4 days later I'm in sixth grade and seventh grade. A lot of the people I didn't know the names to, it might be Poughkeepsie Girl or Chicago Guy or the cop in Montreal. I'm from the Northeast originally, New York. And I brought my four step. All I had in it was a third step prayer. I prayed that before I wrote. He told me to pray before you write, third step prayer. And if you stop to take a pee or make a phone call, re-pray. So I did that. And here's the list. Michael, Sissy, Loki, Bonnie, Mommy, Daddy. I went through all of my relatives, cousins. Of course, I had God, and it was chronological, and I come out with about 1,800 names. That's the first thing I did. The next thing he said was, put an R by everybody you have a resentment against. So I went through the list. Then he said, put an S by everybody you had sex with. Now I have a complete list. See, I wasn't looking for sexual experiences. I was just looking for any old buddy. I own a business, and when I take inventory, I count everything. I count the good, the stuff I'm going to keep. Those of us that are my age, you remember you walk in a store and there'd be little papers taped on all the products? Because they're counting everything, not just the dented cans that they're throwing away. It says in the book we did exactly the same thing with our lives. So 90% of my list, it was just people I remembered. It was actually pleasant remembering my great-grandmother, who only spoke Gaelic, and how lovely she was. And I had this shitty outlook on my past that it was just so horrible. But there was much of it was very pleasant. It might take 15 seconds to write that name, but it would touch my heart. It would touch my heart. And now some of them I knew that I, you know, that I had trouble with. But I went all the way down that list. Then I put an R by everybody resentment, an S, the sex. That's my sex list. I'll give you something else that isn't step four, but I'll give it this to you. On page 76, it says that now we look, you don't have to flip there, I'll quote it. Now we look at step eight, made a list of all persons. Then the next sentence, we have a list of everybody you owe or me. Doesn't say make a list, we already have it. We sure do, that first list. Now I put an A by all the people I owe amends to. See, I'm not going to think up people I owe amends to. I'm going to think how it was your fault, and really you deserved what you got, and what I'm going to justify and excuse and blame, because that's how sick I was at the time I was writing. You know, you're not well when you're writing. You're extremely sick. So these lists and this method is what untangles all that. If I have a complete list, then there's no escape. You know what I mean? And there's no stone unturned. I'm not one of them nuts that says, well, I better do another four step. Or I'm never stumped. Never stumped. Nothing ever sneaks up on me like a feeling that came over me. No. No. That's the cool thing about this thing. So that's where we get our sex list. We get it from the first list. And I'll go through some of the information. I'm looking at the time. Okay, 20, right? 20 minutes?
Yes.
Okay, now we'll go back here. So that's where I got my sex list. I was promiscuous. I come up in the late 70s, early 80s, before AIDS, and it was the thing to be. And women were promiscuous, too, because they had just did the sexual revolution, and it was different than nowadays. So I was pretty promiscuous, although I didn't get a lot of mileage out of it. I knew men that would, you know, titter and tee-hee and giggle about all that and talk about all the women they were with, but I never understood that. Now, I would do it. I would do the behaviors because everybody else did, but I never understood. I mean, I never got anything out of it. I've never been to I call them titty bar. I've never been to a strip bar. It ripped my heart out to see them. Even when I was using, I didn't like any of that. I felt so bad for them women. You ain't going to wash that shame off you. I don't care if you're going to college or what the hell you're doing. That's, you know, you're screwing yourself. And I always felt that way. But I did the promiscuity because everybody else did. And I would hear men, or the men that are talking about the notches on their belt or whatever, and I never understood that. I would go along with it for ego gratification, but I didn't get it. I was 68, 71, here we are. There's only a few things. This is so straightforward that it's hard to screw it up, especially if you got a sponsor. We're not the arbiter of anyone's sex conduct. Who's the arbiter? God, as we understand him. We picked him up in step three. And whoever God, as I understand him, is, he's going to inform my morality so I can get a clear look at this. And that's individual, but as time goes by, I find out that God is God and it's not individual. So I reviewed my own sex conduct with this list, and I asked the nine questions on every, there's nine questions in the middle, page 69. I asked the nine questions on every person I had sex with, or I wanted to, and I answered them in longhand. There's three prayers. We ask God to mold our ideas, that's the first prayer, and help us to live up to them. It didn't say we wrote out a sexual ideal. Some people say that, but that ain't what the book says. It says we ask God to mold our ideals. It doesn't say, let's write one out and think it up. because I'm going to think up shit that I can do, you know, which will please me, not what God's will is. It says we ask God to mold ideas. Didn't say write anything down about an ideal, although you'll hear that everywhere. My sponsor was from Boston, from the original guys, the original Big Book Step Study guys, who was real strict. Then there's another prayer at the bottom. It says, we ask God what we should do about each specific matter. It's an easy one, in meditation. And then there's another prayer, another sex prayer that says, that tells us that we ask God to forgive us if we blow it, once we're living out the ideal that he showed us in step three. There's a promise here. I know I'm going kind of quick. There's a promise here on page 70. You know, you got the fifth step promises, the third step promises, the ninth step promises. There's a promise here in step 4-3 that says, suppose we fall short of the chosen ideal and stumble. Does this mean we're going to get drunk? Some people tell us so, but this is only a half truth. It depends on our motives. If we are sorry for what we have done and have the honest desire to let God take us to better things, we believe we will be forgiven and have learned our lesson. Here's the promise. If we are not sorry and our conduct, we're talking about sex here, and our conduct continues to harm others, we are quite sure to drink. That's a promise. You fool around with sex, you're going to drink. I don't care if you're 25 years sober, which I am, over 25. You will drink. That's a promise in the book, and I've seen it happen to people. Listen to this next sentence. We are not theorizing. These are facts of our experience. We're not bullshitting here. We're not threatening you or trying to get you to be a good boy. This is how it goes. So the one promise of step 4-3 is, if I keep fooling with illicit sex, illicit defined by my third step, I will drink. So I don't. To sum up about sex, we earnestly pray. Here's that last prayer. We earnestly pray for the right ideal. God will show it to us. God, what does it say in step 2? We came to believe. God came to me. The first God that came to me was my own impression of God, which was cut this off, grow that out, stop doing this, start doing that, be a good guy, give shit away, don't say bad words. That ain't God. That's my impression of God. The God that came to me moved in and changed me. It gave me a heart towards him. I love him because he first loved me. I know that's a Christian saying, but that's how it worked for me. He came to me. But it took a long time. I brought one with me. I got an example of the nine questions. How do you answer the nine questions? Well, I got one. This is from 1977. This is Jane Doe. I left home when I was 16. When I was 18, I already had two or three apartments. It was a wheel, I guess. I was a collector. I usually don't say I was a collector for one of the crime families up north. Low level. So I had a lot of cash, cars, prizes. But very, very low level. This is a woman named her Jane Doe. And I'll answer the nine questions we all know are in the center. Everybody knows where they are, right? Where have we been selfish? Question one. Where were we dishonest? Second paragraph, page 69. Inconsiderate.
Excuse me, what page are you on?
Page 69. The second paragraph.
We reviewed our own
conduct over the years past. Now, we already have the list of all the women or men or farm animals, whatever it is. Okay, now what we're doing is, I got two of those. I've had two of those on my list. I do. I'm an absolute lunatic. I'm not ashamed to admit it either. I was that sick. No men, but women and two farm animals. We reviewed our own set. I can't make amends with them either. They're dead. Where had we been selfish? Question one. Where had we been dishonest, inconsiderate? Whom did we hurt? The cool thing about being free from all this, I shot this from the rooftops. I've given this to people for months to carry it around. I'm free from all of it. What does it say just before the third step prayer? We were reborn. That's why I changed my name from Frank to Francis. My real name is Francis. I'm St. Francis. I'm clean. I don't carry any shame or self-hatred. Is it terrible to do what I did with them animals? Sure. They didn't like it. One of them bit me. But that's how sick I was. I mean, I was that bad off. I was probably 13 and I was real curious, 12. Anyway, so that's the nine questions. And I got one here, okay? Jane Doe, where was I selfish? The question. Here's my answer. I had a steady girl at the time across town, which I did, and I could have sex with her whenever I felt like it. But I felt like vampiring this other girl's affections, which might require screwing in my way of sickness. Where was I dishonest? I really didn't care about Jane Doe. All I wanted was how she made me feel about me. Sex for me wasn't about the sex. What I wanted to feel was virile, male, powerful, important, flattered, wanted, loved. If that required sex, I would do sex. But if I could manipulate all that out of a woman without screw, I didn't care. I'm not one of them guys who was, I was all over them. But that wasn't my point. But I didn't learn that until I did my inventory. I felt so bad about me all the time that I used women to feel good. Didn't love them or care about them. Even here, I got a girl I can screw whenever I want to across town, and I'm over with another girl. I really didn't care about her. Okay, now question three, where was I inconsiderate? Answer, I was never considerate of her or anyone else sexually, other than what I wanted for me. I might fake considerate to manipulate a woman into this or that, but only to get what I wanted. Whom did I hurt? I hurt her. I hurt her family. I hurt her reputation. Her relationship with God, whether she believed in God or not. Sex is the only thing where two people commingle as one. And in my opinion, God is in that too, whether we believe in him or not. So that's who I hurt. Did I rise jealousy? No, I was too sneaky and dishonest. Suspicion? No, too sneaky and dishonest. Question seven, did I arouse bitterness? Probably, but I didn't stick around. I vampired, I used that, vampirical, in my fourth step. I vampired her affections. I vacuumed all the goodness I could get out of her life force. Love, affection, attention, flattery. Also, even the sexual, a woman has to, you know, put herself vulnerable, and I got power out of that too. The whole thing was sick. And then I left. She was a nice girl from a nice family. This was not a skank. This wasn't a cruise. She was a nice girl from a nice family. And she didn't deserve to run into a garbage can like me. Where was I at fault? I already said it. I only wanted to take what I could get from her to feel good about me. If that required lying, screwing, I love you, I don't love you, I'll beat up your old boyfriend, great, I'm good at that. Faking love or any kind of revolting shit, I did it. Question nine, what should I have done instead? What would be an alternative? I should have been a chaste, godly man at all times to all women. I didn't know that, but that's question nine, I answered them all the same. I should have been a chaste, godly man. I should have treated women the way I would my mother or my grandmother or my sisters, but I wasn't able to. That's the sex inventory, and some of them were different, of course, because we're all different women, but in that's one of my best ones, I think. It's a good picture of what I was about. The sex had nothing to do with the actual physical contact. Once you've done it a few hundred times, I mean, the jig's up. Then you really got to search out what your heart's up to. Another thing I would do was, and this was probably 16, I mean, for years I would be extremely crass and inappropriate and brash and sexually explicit in mixed company. You know, say bad words or talk about just sexually things, even in a group like this, to manipulate people, to rock them back on their heels. It kind of shocks them. And then while they're kind of shocked, I can do what I want. I can say what I want, be what I want, act all I want. You've seen them pieces of crap that'll, sex is on page 69. No, it's not. It's on page 68 to 71. That's the kind of crap I would say in AA. Or some people will read page 96 as if it's sexual. I don't know if you've heard of that. That's the other kind of creepy stuff I would do. I would use sex like I did everything else for ego gratification, to control others, to manipulate for selfish, self-centered reasons. Even if the actual sex wasn't even in the game, I would use sexual topics or sexually explicit things that would make people uncomfortable. Because once they're uncomfortable, I got them. I'll take what I want, manipulate them, get them thinking this, and the whole time I'm over here for this. I really used and misused sex. Most of what I learned about God, I reckon this is my conclusion, I learned from what he has shown me about me. He opened my eyes to me, which made a place for him so I could live and breathe and have my being with him every day. I got page 25. The great fact is just this and nothing less. We have had deep and effective spiritual experiences that have revolutionized our lives. The central fact of my life today is the absolute certainty that God has entered into my life. The central fact of my daily walk, every day, is the absolute certainty that I'm walking around with God. Big Book Step Study, give me that. Thank you. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Thank you.